This is going to be our concluding class on Parshas Vayechi, and really our concluding class on the book of Genesis. Because this week we conclude the first Chumash, the first book of the Torah. So Parshas Vayechi opens with Yaakov Avinu making post-mortem planning. He's worried about the future. He wants to make sure that his funeral gets accounted for and taken care of. But he also wants to make sure that his progeny, his children, are going to follow in the pathway that he has trod for them. And he blesses them. He divides the tribe of Joseph, and we'll talk about that a little bit this morning, into Menashe and Ephraim. And he goes on to gather all his children round. And then after gathering his children round, he begins to address each one individually. And he blesses them. And today we're going to look at the tribal blessing roundup. So this actually finds itself in the sixth reading, chapter 49. Shishi opens with Yaakov's blessing to his youngest son, Binyamin, where he evokes some unusual imagery. And then in verse 28, Yaakov says, Kol Eile Shivte Yisrael. These are all you got. These all are the tribes of Israel. Shnei Masar, 12. Vizois Asher Dibur Lahem Avihim. And this is what their father said to them. Vayivaruch Eisam, he blessed them. Ish Asher Kivirchose Beirach Eisam. Each person, like his blessing, he blessed them, or in accordance with his own blessing. One little verse in the Torah that requires quite a bit of elucidation and contains within it some incredible lessons. So let's take it from the top. The pasuk opens with the words kol, all. It doesn't say Eile Shivti Yisrael. It doesn't say these are the tribes of Israel. It says, Kol Eila, all of the tribes of Israel. What's the difference between the tribes of Israel and all the tribes of Israel? Rabbeinu Bechaya has a fascinating comment on this. He says that all is an overarching word that includes all of reality. And what Yaakov meant to say, or what he alluded to, when he said, Kol Eila Shivte Yisrael, was that Kol HaMetzias Kulei, all of existence, is able to receive sustenance from God, Bizchus Shivte Yisrael, in the merit of the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, this follows the geocentric pattern of Judaism, in which it sees the Jewish people as a raison d'etre for creation itself, and that everything revolves around the mission that Hashem gave us. Not in a condescending way, heaven forfend, not in an arrogant way, but in a responsible way. We are responsible for the whole wide world. We are responsible for the spiritual welfare of humanity, the earth, and its fullness. And that's alluded to where Yaakov says to his children, Kol Eile, Kol, all of this. This is all about Shivte Yisrael. Of course, on a level of pshat, that doesn't really add up, but on a level of drush and remez, if you talk about this on a homiletic level, when you talk about the things that Torah alludes to, Yaakov here is alluding to the global mission of the Jewish people. Now, you may well ask, Parshas Vayechi is the site of a development of additional tribes, where Yosef becomes Menashe and Ephraim. And if we count Yosef twice, it's not 12 tribes, it's 13 tribes. So why is it that in the blessing roundup, when we finish, Yaakov finished taking Yosef and creating two tribes out of him, and blesses Menashe and Ephraim first, and only afterwards goes on to bless the rest of his children. So why is it then that Yaakov then gives us this roundup by saying, these are Shivti Yisrael, Shnei Masar, He should have said, these are Shivtei Yisrael. This is the way we look at the tribes of Israel. Shloisha Asar, 13. So the Sefarno says, look here. There really are 12 tribes. How do we know that? Because on the breastplate of the coin, which represented the entire nation, there were 12 gemstones, not 13. He said, hey, what about Manasseh and Ephraim? Says the Sefarno, we only count Manasseh and Ephraim when we discount Levi. And the only time Levi gets a discount is when it comes for Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. It's because Hashem didn't want Levi to be a landowner. He wanted him to focus solely on his spiritual mission, serving in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, and ultimately becoming or evolving into the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people. And therefore, Levi wasn't going to receive land, an inheritance of real estate, and booty of battle. But otherwise, there really are 12 tribes. So Manasseh and Ephraim, he says, are solely le'nimnu rak b'Yerusha Saaretz, only for the land of Israel, for its division. So now we know a little bit more about the words kol Eila. These are all Shivtei Yisrael. And we have a little bit more of an understanding of why we would emphasize 12 in a parsha that introduces us to 13. The verse continues, V'zot asher diber. And this is what he said. This is what he told them. So there's a fascinating commentary that's found in numerous different forms of syntax. It's found in the Daz Zakenim, the Bali HaTosfos. It's found in the writings, the manuscript of Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh. And it's also articulated in the Bala Turim. And it goes something like this. Jewish history is a continuum. The blessings that were provided from one generation to the next, it's kind of the passing of the baton. Each one begins where the last one ended. And he says, let's take it from the top. God blesses Abraham. Okay, that's God's business. Who's the first one to pass the baton on?
Abraham to Isaac.
So you would think Abraham to Isaac, except that Abraham was afraid to bless Isaac because he didn't know what to do about Esau. He said, this kid is trouble. So he was worried. Abraham said, I don't know what to do.
You mean Ishmael?
No. I mean Esau.
You mean Esau?
Yeah, I mean Esau. So Avram didn't want to bless Yitzchak. He said, I can't deal with this. This is above my pay grade. Who blesses Yitzchak? God himself blesses Yitzchak. Okay. But Yitzchak can't pass the buck. It's okay. Enough. You need to take responsibility. So Yitzchak has to pass the baton. And who did he want to pass the baton to?
Esau.
Yeah, but that didn't work, right? Thank God we have good Jewish mothers. They didn't let that happen. So when Yitzchak blesses Yaakov, he blesses him Bekel Shendal Yud. But then he finishes off by saying, Vayikra Yitzchak El Yaakov. After the blessing, he uses the word Vayikra. That's how the blessing ends. He calls for Yaakov and he says, listen, you need to check out of town. You need to find a shidduch. Head east. So, in other words, Yitzchak finished off with the words Vayikra. How did Yaakov begin the entire portion of blessing? Do you remember what we said yesterday? What was the first word? Vayikra. He called for his children.
Oh,
don't look at me funny.
Okay.
Let's
okay.
Turn back to the beginning of chapter 49. Vayikra Yaakov el Bonov. So Isaac finishes with the words Vayikra, and Yaakov
starts
with the words Vayikra. Ah, this is going to get even more interesting. How does Yaakov conclude? He finishes off, Zot Asher Dibur Lehem. The truth is that in the next generation, we don't find Yosef blessing anybody, and we don't really hear about the passing of the tribes, only that they died. When is the next time we'll find a great millennial Jewish leader blessing the future generations? Moshe. Very good. And how does Moshe's portion of blessing begin? V'zot habracha. How does Yaakov finish? Zot asher dibur lehem. V'zot asher dibur lehem. How does Moshe Rabbeinu begin? V'zot. The way Yaakov ended is how Moshe begins. Everybody knows Parshat V'zot habracha. The next time we find a very dramatic deathbed scene is with David HaMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu finishes off with the words, Ashrecha Yisrael. David HaMelech's blessing is couched in the book of Tehillim. And how does the book of Tehillim begin? Ashrei HaIsh. So there's like this beautiful chain of blessed continuum from generation to generation. And according to these great Rishonim, that's the reason that Yaakov specifically chose the word Vizot.
Who
says this?
Yeah.
I said Dazakenim, the Balei HaTosfos, wow, the Rosh, and the Balei HaTurim. Pretty amazing, yeah?
Wow.
So this is what he said to them. And then, that's not a problem. This is what he said to them. You want to know what he said to them? Read the verses. You'll know what he said to them. But then it says, Vayivarach Otam, he blessed them. Okay, I can handle that. Ish asher ki birchosoy, each person like his blessing. Beirach Osam, say, hey, one second. He blessed them all? He blessed them all? Did he really bless them all?
Moshe didn't bless them.
Moshe didn't bless Shimon, but how about Yaakov? We're not talking about Moshe, we're talking about Yaakov now. How about Yaakov?
He rebukes...
He rebukes Reuven. He rebukes Shimon. He rebukes Levi. You're telling me a story that he blessed them all. But he didn't bless them all. So if you want to say this is what he said, all right, that's what he said. But here you're not saying it's what he said, here you're saying he blessed them. This already is something Rashi cannot ignore. Here Rashi has to comment. This is now we got a problem. It just doesn't add up. Says Rashi, Vizos Asher Dibur Lahem. This is what he said to them. Okay. Vayivarach Osam. He blessed them. It doesn't say he blessed some of them. It says he blessed them.
A rebuke
is a blessing?
Maybe.
You tell that to Sweeney's grandmother.
Well, look at Levi. I mean, Levi.
If you got rebuked, would you say that was a great blessing?
Sometimes.
Give me a double.
No, but you know.
You know, it was so bad that Yehuda said, "I'm out of here." When he listened to Yaakov give Reuven a tongue lashing and tell him why you're not. Here's why you're not going to be the firstborn. Here's why you're not going to be the progenitor of priesthood. Here's why you're not going to be the progenitor of kingship. That's what he told him. Here's what you're not doing. And Reuven is like, oh boy, okay. And then he turned to Shimon and Levi and he says, and you guys, your anger should be cursed. I will scatter you amongst Israel.
Okay, but Levi became a very prominent.
Levi became very prominent, but did you find Yaakov blessing him?
Probably one of the most prominent.
Did you find Yaakov blessing him?
It must be. If the Torah says it was a
blessing,
it must be.
Okay, but that's what Rashi's problem is. There are those whom he did not bless. Ella, rather, kinterim. He sharply criticized them. He didn't bless them. So what's going on there? How could the Torah go ahead and say, this is how he blessed all of them? He didn't bless all of them. It says Rashi, Ella, chach perusho. This is the way you have to understand it. This is what he said to them. Everything that was said over here. And then you'll say, this is what he said to them. You might think that the first three tribes did not get blessed. Because when we read what he said to them, it was a heaping teaspoon of criticism. It was not a blessing. Nonetheless, you should know, Talmud Leimer Vayivarech Eisam. He blessed them all. You may not have read it, but he blessed them all. He did bless them all. Kulam b'mashma. All of them were included. All of them were intimated as being blessed. Ish asher ki b'chosei, habracha ha'asid alove ha'kol echad v'yechot. That's the blessing that is appropriate for each individual one. Beirech Eisam. He blessed them. Baholi Leimer says Rashi, he should have said, Ella, Isha Sheki Brechose Berechesoi. Oisoi. Singular. Each person got his blessing. Instead, it said, each person got their blessings. That doesn't seem to make sense. Uma Talmud Leimer, what here is trying to be conveyed to us when the Torah specifically chose the seemingly incongruous word of them when it speaks about individual blessings? Says Rashi, Lefisha Nasan Li Yehuda Gvuras Ari. Yehuda was given the blessing of a lion's might. Ulu Binyamin, Binyamin was given chatifase shel zev, the ability to reach beyond and grab what doesn't come naturally, what's outside of your orbit, like a wolf. Naphtali was given kalusa shel ayel, the light-footedness of the gazelle. Yachol, you would think, shaleich lalon kulon b'chol ha-brachis, that they were not all included in blessings. Talmud leimar beirach eisam. They were all included in these blessings. In other words, Yehuda got a lion's might, but so did Yosef. And Naphtali got quick-footedness and alacrity, but so did Asher. So what does this mean? So if everybody got it, why did he give it individually? And here, my dear friends, is a real roundup of the tribal blessings. Okay. So please join me for Rebbe elucidation. The Rebbe's elucidation is found, this morning's elucidation, on page Shin Nun Hei. Beautiful. Shin Nun Hei. Chavav. Tzarech biur. This needs to be better elucidated, better understood. In b'seifah shel davar chazer Yankev v'cholul kol ha-shvatim. If in the end, at the roundup, Yaakov returned and blessed everybody with all the blessings. He didn't just give it to Yehuda and Naphtali or to Binyamin. He gave it to everybody, to every Jew. So l'shem ha-beirach t'chilah kol echad b'racha miyuchedesle. Then why did he bless him individually? He should have said, for all of you, the lion's might, for all of you, the swiftness of the deer, for all of you, the ability to reach beyond and grab higher from the wolf. Why did he divide it individually? So listen to this. The Yeshlem. Yadua, there's this well-known idea. It's actually articulated in the writings of the Arizal in a sefer called Pri Etz Chaim. Sheshnei Masar Shvatim, that the 12 tribes of Israel, him keneged shteim esrei drochim klolius ba'avodas Hashem, correspond to 12 individually trod out pathways in the service of Hashem. There are actually 12 pathways. L'chol shevet haderech hamiyuchedes shaloi. Every tribe travels his highway. Every tribe has got his ways. The way he does things. Yadua, it's known, l'mashal, for example, and this is only a metaphor and a parable and example, but it's really applicable to all of the tribes, but this is just the easiest two tribes to identify. If you had to show the difference between two tribes, what's the easiest tribe to reach for? Yisachar and Zvolun, exactly. Yisachar is Yeshev Ayil, and one extreme, the one who bears the burden of Torah study, and he sits in the yeshiva environment. She'ikir isukai b'limudat Torah, his primary occupation is the study of Torah. Ve'ilu Zevulun, correspondingly, Zevulun is not involved primarily in Torah study, but rather in commerce and in business. Ha'isik ben yani ha'elam, he's involved in worldly matters. Ma'alasei, his virtue is be'ikir b'tzedakah, u'gmilas chasadim. He is the one who enables, supports, and sustains all the Torah study. One writes the Torah novelle, and the other writes the check that enables the Torah novelle to be written. The Rebbe says, yes, indeed, it's true. Yisachar has a greater emphasis on Torah study. Yes, indeed, it's true. Zevulun spends more time on Wall Street or on Bay Street. However, Yachadim Zeh, so along with this movement, it's understood, Shekol Echad Me'ashvatim Oisek Gam Ba'Vedosam Shekol Ashvatim Acherim. You don't get to be exclusive. Do not think for a minute that a person from the tribe of Yisachar says, I just study Torah. Excuse me, could you please give me some tzedakah? I'm sorry, I can't give you tzedakah. I don't help anybody. I study Torah. That's what I do. And then you come to Zevulun and say, Zevulun, can you please join us? We have a little Torah class before davening in the morning. He says, Rabbi, please don't even talk to me about that. If I daven, you're lucky. I do business. That's all I do. The truth is that Gam b'nei shevet Zevulun oiskim b'limudat Torah. Zevulun also has the obligation to study Torah. In the language of our sages, Pedek echad shachris u Pedek echad arvis. He may be a small chapter, a portion in the morning, a portion in the evening. And gam b'nei shevet Yisachar b'kaimim mitzvah tzedakah. The children, the people from the Yisachar tribe, they also have to give tzedakah. Every Jew has to give tzedakah. Ha'hevdol b'neihem. So what's the difference? If Yisachar is giving tzedakah and Zevulun studying Torah, the emphasis is only kamas. It's only a quantitative difference. Who spends more time doing what? Hazman she magdishim l'kolecha, the time which is dedicated to each one. Kol shevet makdish es reiv zmanei la'avodasoi ha'ikris. Each tribe's people focuses, quantitatively speaking, the lion's share of their time on the pursuit that's unique to them. V'zohi asiba, that's the reason she Yaakov beira kol shevet v'bracha miyuchedes. Each tribe got the blessing they needed. You got the blessing that was special for you. But that was only because that was your primary emphasis and occupation. It's not because it was your sole emphasis and occupation. And therefore, la'achar mikein, when Yaakov finished blessing the individual tribes, which was meant to stimulate and develop their own unique strengths, talents, characteristics, and abilities, Yaakov came back and said, really and truly, all of you get all the blessings, because all of this is part of the legacy of Torah Judaism. And all of this is in the purview of every single member of Am Yisrael. Habrocha miyuchedes l'chol shevet, the unique blessing for each individual tribe, misyacheses l'avedes Hashem miyuchedes, addresses itself to the unique service of God, to the area of achievement that is special for every individual tribe. But that's only roiv isukei bekamos. That's because quantitatively, that takes up the vast amount of their hard drive. The Afal Pike, nonetheless, Chazar Yaakov. Yaakov now returns v'cholas kol ashvatim b'chol abrochis. He gives all the tribes all the blessings. K'deisha be'echos. So when we speak on a qualitative level, kulam yiyu shavim b'avedosam. Whose job is it to change the world through Torah study and tzedakah? Whose job is it? The answer is the Jewish people's job. And the Jewish people are comprised of 12 tribes, but it is not one tribe's job or the other tribe's job. It's everybody's job. It's everybody's job. When Zvulun is involved in Yisachar's area, in his scrimmage, when he's learning his Pedik Echad Shachris and Pedik Echad Arvis, when he's spending some time studying Torah, when Yisachar studies Torah, oh, forget about it. He's on fire. And guess what? When Zevulun studies his little 15 or 20 minutes or half hour in the morning of studying Torah, he's also on fire. As if he's Yisachar. As if he's Tadasi Yom Nasi. If that was his sole occupation. When Yisachar is feeding somebody who is poor, who is needy, when Yisachar is providing for somebody who doesn't have, then he gives in the same generous, benevolent, and open-handed fashion, and with the same enthusiasm and the same vitality. You would think he's a provider, even though he's a studier. And the point is that each tribe really and truly has to do everything. And the question is only what the greater emphasis, the kach, just like we use this metaphor of Yisachar and Zvulun, it is also Sha'or HaShvatim. And so the blessing roundup is, in the end, everybody got blessed, and every one of us has the ability to do all of what Yiddishkeit asks of us. Surely, every one of us has a unique emphasis, and we have special gifts and talents which must be used fully, but that doesn't exonerate us from any part of Yiddishkeit. All of Yiddishkeit is relevant, meaningful, and in fact demanded of each and every one of us.
Does Tanya talk about the 12 different ways to serve God? Like